The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I just wanted to share this with you because the ratings came out a few moments ago, and Gutfeld is the most watched late night program on TV. Has outdrawn Colbert for 21 straight months among total viewers and 13 months in a row among the advertiser coveted demographic of adults aged 25 to 54. In 2025, Gutfeld has averaged 3.1 million viewers through July 20th compared to 1.9 million for CBS's outgoing Late Show. During that same time period, ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live averaged 1.5 million. NBC's The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon averaged 1.1 million, and NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers managed 751,000. All right, so there's a couple thoughts on that. I mean, first of all, Fox News and the Fox News effect, there's nothing like it. The loyalty that people have to that network is absolutely amazing. And Gutfeld's show is great. Obviously, he's the of late night now. These late night shows, though, on ABC, CBS, NBC, I mean, they're all doomed. They're doomed. It's only a matter of time. It really is. So it's only a matter of time until, you know, those shows go the way of the dinosaurs because they're so expensive to produce. And the and even if they had a conservative comedian or if they had somebody who was just not a D-bag like Colbert, you're still not going to get people over there to watch, and those networks are never going to put somebody like, for example, ABC is not going to go to Greg Gutfeld tomorrow and offer him twice what he's making at Fox News to get him over there. CBS is not going to say to Gutfeld, hey, you know, here's twice what you're making at Fox News, or, you know, to Fela and say, you know, here's 10 times more than you're making at Fox News. And, you know, come over here and we're going to try to go down that road, and they're never going to do that. So they'll just get rid of it and put in a show that's cheaper to produce. I was watching Jon Stewart's reaction to this, and Jon Stewart was basically of the mindset of, like, you know, yeah, these shows cost you a lot of money, but where they're, but shows like Colbert and the others are the reasons why your network is so profitable overall. Nah, I don't think so. I think in general, cable news, I mean, the broadcast networks, the big three broadcast networks, have a bigger problem on their hands. And then beyond just even late night, all the streaming shows that are out there now are marginally better than the scripted crap that's put on. I can't remember the last time I watched a show on either ABC, CBS, or NBC. I can't. First of all, the commercials are one thing. I mean, look, I'm not an idiot. I know radio is also going through a hard time. I get that. But I also know the loyalty of this audience, so I don't lose sleep at night if tomorrow I'm not on this radio station, I still have a feeling you'll find me and you'll be there. I have a maybe 5 years ago that would not have been the case. Maybe 5 years ago it's just a matter of pushing the button and whoever's on is on, and that's just the end of it. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. I think that you want to hear who you want to hear. And you want to hear that person when you want to hear that person. You want to watch that show when you want to watch it. And it's not a matter of just putting anybody in that time slot. If it was, then Colbert would be fine. But they put a total D-bag in that time slot who alienated more than half the country and drove a show that was a storied show into the gutter. And radio stations, TV stations do this all the time. I mean, I was around for the days of Buzz Bissinger and other people that were on this radio station. And they thought, oh, we'll put whoever in that time slot. It doesn't matter. Whoever we put in there, people will listen just because they're in the car. They'll just put on 1210. They'll just listen. No, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. And the problem is that TV executives, radio executives, too, in many cases, just think that talent is expendable. Like, well, you know, Fox gets that point. And I think that if they don't, like, let's say tomorrow they fired Greg Gutfeld. Well, Greg Gutfeld's not going to be working at ShopRite or the Acme, you know, bagging groceries. He's going to be online, starting his own platform online and attracting millions and millions of viewers, just like what Tucker Carlson did. The people will find the talent no matter what. Now, they may still watch whoever is put in his place, but that doesn't mean they're not going to go and watch the guy they want to watch. You know what I mean? Because that's how audiences are these days. Like, we want what we want, and we want it when we want it. But part of the problem I always saw with Colbert was just that the guy is just so damn unlikable and not that talented. One of the excuses now that they're using, we're using two excuses. The first one is that the network caved to Donald Trump. And number two, it's that they're saying, well, you know, he took a shot at the executives. He took a shot at the executives of the parent company 2 days before he was fired. And that's why they got rid of him. Oh, stop. You know, David Letterman back in the day, that guy would take shots at NBC. And when GE bought NBC, if you remember that whole time period, I remember one day he put, remember the Etch-A-Sketch, which is still around. Etch-A-Sketches are great. My kids love them. Believe it or not, the Etch-A-Sketch in this day of digital age, give your kid an Etch-A-Sketch. Actually, really do appreciate it. I know this because, you know, we're always trying to find new ways to entertain our children on road trips that don't involve them watching a screen of some sort. But he took an Etch-A-Sketch and one time wrote GE sucks on it and held it up to the camera. He used to take shots at NBC and the executives, call them weasels. And he would do that all the time. I mean, back in the day, Howard Stern did that constantly all the time to the executives when he was on, I guess he was on K-Rock, I think it was in New York. And I mean, he did that back when he was at 101 in D.C. That was a thing. Like, that was a shtick. You know, it was kind of shtick, too. But you don't see that at Fox News because they treat their talent very, very well. And if they part ways with their talent, there's going to be still a place for them to go. Because we live in a digital age now where you can start a YouTube show, you can start a podcast, you can start these things tomorrow, today. You can do that. But the idea that losing Stephen Colbert is in some way the end of late night because the network's afraid of Donald Trump and what Donald Trump will do and that he'll block their merger and everything else, but they're keeping the guy on to May? That doesn't make any sense. If that was the case, they get rid of the guy tomorrow. They would get rid of the guy tomorrow. By the way, Matt DeSantis, since you don't know how to do your freaking job, I reach out to Paula Scanlon directly and she's in for the Grand Hotel on August 15th.
I already knew that. I talked to her about it like a month ago.
Oh.
I think Wilfred Riley is also joining us.
Well, I just... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at that. Going to have a great show. It's going to be great. We're also going to have a great show with Gianno Caldwell, Thursday, July 31st, a week from Thursday. So mark your calendar for that, Politics and Pints, and get your tickets now. Anyway, my point is that, you know, this idea that like losing Stephen Colbert might be the end of late night. No, what's going to be the end of late night? YouTube, streaming, people watching the content they want to watch when they want to watch it, when they want to watch it, when they're interested in watching it with the talent that they want to watch. And if Colbert's that good and he has that good of a following, he'll be fine. He'll start something online and people will watch him and he'll be fine. The bigger problem is not Stephen Colbert. The bigger problem are the broadcast networks. They've got a real problem. I mean, in general, all of entertainment does, because nowadays you don't need that platform the way you used to need it. Like, there was a time where that was the only way you could entertain people. You had to be on a network. You had to be on one of those stations. You don't have to be on that anymore. It's great. If you're good, it's annoying because there's so many people on these platforms now that aren't good. So you got to filter through that to find the talent. But like anything else in life, cream rises to the top. I truly believe that in life. But listen to this excuse now. Sam Wheeler on CNN, as they're trying to blame, as they're trying to figure out, and you know what I think it is too? It's people who also know that their future is written, like their obituary is basically written. CNN's obituary is basically written. People don't have the loyalty for CNN they have for Fox News. They don't have the loyalty for MSNBC that they have for Fox News. They used to. They don't anymore. There's not loyalty for ABC, CBS, and NBC. There's no must-see TV NBC where it's a, you got to watch NBC between 8 and 10. You can't miss it. And then you're going to go into the late night show. That's gone. That's all gone. That's over. That era is over. And they're dancing on their own graves. Fox News has figured out how you keep a loyal audience throughout the entire day. And you don't lose them. You keep them all day long. And it's working well for them. And yeah, they had a bump in the road when they lost Tucker, but got it back. They got their back, their stride. Now they're number one. Not even close. No one comes close to them. It's not even close. Because they figured out a strong model that gets loyalty, and it's loyalty to a network, and then you get loyalty to the host, and then that continues. Name me another place on television that has that in the same manner of the Hallmark networks. I don't mean startups. I'm not talking about like One America's Voice or Newsmax. I mean, they have loyal followings too, but of the legacy networks, nothing comes close to that. Nothing. And there's not a single talent that comes close to that either. There's not one. I would argue that Jon Stewart is the exception, where if Jon Stewart left and The Daily Show became an online thing, people would still watch it, because I happen to think the guy's funny. I don't like his politics, but I think he's funny. I think he's talented. I think some of the people on The Daily Show are hacky, but he's very good. He's talented. He would be fine. He'll be fine. If Gutfeld left Fox tomorrow, I don't know. I mean, Fox would probably move Fela over there and they would be fine, but he'd be fine too. That's the difference. They would both be okay. Right? Like if tomorrow Greg Gutfeld just said, I want more money and Fox isn't paying me what I think I'm worth, I'm leaving and I'm starting up my own channel, he would be absolutely fine. And then whoever they move into that spot, let's say it's Jimmy Fela, he probably would be the heir apparent. They move Fela there. Then Fela's fine too, and Fox News is fine, and everybody's fine, because you could watch Fela at 10 and you could watch Gutfeld whenever the hell you wanted to. But that loyalty does not exist for ABC, CBS, NBC. It doesn't exist for MSNBC, and it doesn't exist for CNN. Brian Stelter's off CNN tomorrow. Nobody is searching to find where Brian Stelter is so that they can get Brian Stelter's hot take. No one. No one. No one. Megyn Kelly left Fox News, and Megyn Kelly is killing it now with the Megyn Kelly podcast. Her podcast is doing unbelievable. She's doing great. She had Rahm Emanuel on today, and Rahm Emanuel, and Matt, see if you two can stop chit-chatting for a second and find this clip. Rahm Emanuel told Megyn Kelly today he thinks that men can't be women. If you two are done with your little chit-chat. What are you two chit-chatting in there, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
Well, we're trying to figure out how we're going to structure the rest of the show.
That, and my opinion was that as soon as a majority of boomers and early Gen X are gone, you're going to see the death of a bunch of these major television networks as everything just shifts to streaming. Because I don't watch TV. Matt doesn't watch TV. The only reason I own a TV is for sports, for Philly sports, and that's it.
That's it.
Everything else is just Netflix, HBO Max for movies, and it's just nobody watches TV beside like as consistently as boomers and. Like, I'd say boomers and early Gen X, like 65 to 70, give or take.
Yeah. And if you can get, if you can capture that key demo, like Gutfeld's doing, that key demo, they'll absolutely watch him on a streaming platform if he leaves Fox News tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And they'll watch Colbert too. I mean, if they like him, they'll watch him on a streaming platform. The problem is not him, the problem is the platform. I mean, he's a D-bag, but he has a loyal following. But the platforms are screwed, I think, in my opinion. They're screwed. Let me go to Phil in Delaware, by the way. He wanted to make a point about, is this Phil in Delaware? Phil,
hey.
How are you?
Doing well, and yourself?
Great. How are you listening right now?
Actually, I'm on my cell in an amazing thrift store down in Laurel, Maryland.
Nice. Are you listening
it's
on
huge.
The app, or are you listening on the radio?
Yes, app.
App. Which app, the Odyssey app or the iHeartRadio app?
Odyssey.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Phil.
Do you have a suggestion?
No, I was just curious. I'm just curious. And Phil, may I ask your age?
I am 63.
So Phil's 63 years old. He's figured out how to listen on the app, right? So Phil, if I wasn't on the radio and you wanted to listen to me, you think you could figure it out?
I would track you down.
See? Phil's proven my point.
Yep, if you want it, you go get it.
Now, Phil, what are you doing in Laurel, Maryland? Because I like Laurel, Maryland.
Well, I travel about 1,400 miles a week as a courier, so that's why I hit and miss, but generally catch your show. So I can't thank you enough for keeping me upbeat.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. And you saw Ozzy Osbourne in person?
Yes, and it was amazing. It was over in Jersey at the B&T Pavilion, and they had Black Sabbath on the backdrop, so it wasn't like an Ozzy show, or it was Black Sabbath, and we were in the second row.
Interesting. That's
awesome.
And I was
looking to see if he was lip-syncing or what. And no, he at the time, and it's only like 9-10 years ago, he was right on point still. No,
wow.
No propping him up, no blowing him up, no, you know, with wires from the ceiling like a 3-year-old walking across the stage.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Needless to say, now I'm glad I spent the money and did it.
And you know, Phil, he ate a bat and he didn't get COVID.
And the weird thing is, I ate a bat and I did get COVID.
Well played. Well played. All right, buddy.
So
well, go ahead.
So I watched Colbert, and why are they waiting a year?
I don't know.
Last night's show was, like, absolutely useless. And when are you going to allow a jackass like him to go say F you to the president? I mean, he point blank turned and said that.
Yeah, and that's why I don't buy this whole argument that they're afraid of Trump stopping their merger, because they're letting the guy stay on till May, curse out the president. So that makes no sense. It's a lie. They're lying about why. You know, they're trying to make Trump the excuse again, like they always do.
Everything always leads back, and I can say always, whether it's on the internet, on TV, always leads back. Gee, could we praise him for one thing? Just... Gee, you did an attaboy on one thing. Pick anything. Can't do it.
You know what? Let's play the clip for Phil since we got him on the phone here. This is Cut 21. This is Stephen Colbert responding to Donald Trump here. Cut 21.
On Friday, Donald Trump posted, "I absolutely love that Colbert got fired. His talent was even less than his ratings."
What do they do? Orchestrate the crowd?
How dare
bribe them?
Sir.
Yeah, so wait, pause it there for a second. First of all, Phil, is that not the worst Trump impression you've ever heard?
It sounded like Rusty Jones.
So bad. And yes, your question is, do they get the credit? Absolutely. They put the applause sign up, and they have people that go out there and clap their hands to try to get the clapping seals to go along with it. That's what they do.
They must have promised those shrimp dinners.
Yeah.
If you applaud, we'll give you dinner. You don't applaud, nothing.
Nothing for you. Phil, thanks, buddy. Have a great day, and thank you for listening. Appreciate it very much.
And thank you to you, too, and Matt.
All right. Well, don't thank Matt. He's freaking useless. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that very much. All right, here. Keep playing the clip, though, with Colbert.
How dare you, sir? Would an untalented man be able to compose the following satirical witticism? Go f*** yourself.
Wow. That's funny. I mean, that's funny. That's brilliant. and the worst Trump impression I've ever heard. If you can't do an impression, don't do an impression. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard. But here's the CNN, which is also CNN. I am amazed that CNN is still on there, to the point that Justin made about. So, and he's not being, it's not a pejorative, boomers. I mean, the boomer generation, the baby boomers, are the people that are tuning in to the traditional media. I think what saves CNN, honestly, is still the friggin' airports. Every time you go to an airport, there's still CNN on. That's it. That's it. Because at how many times, who the hell is waking up on Saturday morning going, oh my God, I got to turn on Smirkanish. I can't wait to hear his take on this. Nobody.
I didn't think about this until you just made that point, though. Even in the international terminal at Tokyo Haneda, they had CNN on.
Did they really?
Yes.
Amazing. And how many places do you go to when you're at places that will have CNN on as like the politically correct news? If they have four TVs, they'll have CNN. They'll never have Fox News on. And yet, even though Fox News does not get a bump from any of that nonsense, they still crush it and beat it. I heard their show, the America's Newsroom, this past Monday morning at 9:30 was the highest ratings on Fox News in history. Did you know that? This past Monday morning at 9:30. Did you know that? I just read that.
It's crazy. It's genuinely crazy.
Genuinely crazy. It was America's Newsroom with Jimmy Fallon and Rich Zeoli. Yeah, they said highest ratings in Fox News history this past Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. That is remarkable. Frigging remarkable. Anyway, here's CNN dancing on their graves. Cut 20.
Now, this brings me to Colbert, things he said that people are now honing in on in light of that 60 Minutes settlement, which was also CBS prior to this merger. Colbert criticized Trump, and he actually talked about the settlement between Trump and Paramount. Here's what he said.
Now, I believe that this kind of complicated financial settlement with a sitting government official has a technical name in legal circles. It's big fat bribe.
I mean, that was the First Amendment there. Mm-hmm. That was obviously before the cancellation. They're giving him another year on the air, but not another year, but what, 10 months on the air?
Yeah, and I think the timeline's really important, right? On Monday, he makes that joke. On Tuesday, David Ellison, the CEO of Skydance, meets with the FCC. In that meeting, there's a discussion about how CBS is going to represent a range of ideological viewpoints. On Wednesday, Colbert gets the notice that the show's been canceled. And so I think that to believe that this is about finances means that you have to kind of forget everything you know about the Trump administration, everything you know about CBS's capitulation, CBS and Paramount's capitulation to the Trump administration, and everything that we know about the timeline.
Right. I mean, sometimes when things are staring you in the face, you know, you can look and see them.
It's more comforting to believe that it was for that reason, but I think that the facts are what they are in this case.
All right. Well, Sam, thank you.
I don't know. Erin Burnett is another one. Like, she needs that job on CNN. Erin Burnett needs that job. She does not have the whole world has changed a lot. The whole world has changed. And these legacy media outlets, the other thing too, is that they spent years losing people's trust. Whereas Fox News has spent years gaining people's trust. I've spent years gaining your trust. I say whatever I believe is true. I say what I believe. And that's that. It is entirely about making you happy. And this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Make your summer plans now and your September to remember getaway at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We'll be back August 15th with our special guest, Paula Scanlon. That's going to be great. So mark your calendar. But I make you happy, but I'm honest with you about everything I say. And it's trust. And that's what these idiots on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS do not understand. They don't understand that. They don't have a clue. And it all starts with the fact that they think you're idiots and you'll watch whatever's on the boob tube because it's on. It's like that line from Seinfeld. You remember, why am I watching it? Because it's on television. And he goes, not yet. Well, that was then. This is now. You're not watching it just because it's on TV or just because it's on the radio. That's not how it works in this day and age. And because I respect your intelligence and we respect your intelligence, we understand that. We get that point. But they don't. And that's why they're losing. And that's why they will keep losing. Now, we have tickets to give away. We're going to do that. But if you have not gotten away this year, please don't miss making great family memories. There's still time to book a getaway at the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel in Cape May, New Jersey. They have several special packages to make your getaway even grander. If you hurry, you can still book that July midweek stay and earn those resort credits. Cape May is beautiful in the fall. Book a grand escape weekend this fall, earn resort credits, or enjoy the beautiful beaches in Cape May with fewer crowds. Or make it a September to remember and book a September stay. You'll earn resort credits and save 10% off room rates. Check out their website for details. Remember, book direct with them for the best rates and resort credits. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding or special event. Just call my friend Caitlin. She was just named 2025 South Jersey's Face of Weddings. Caitlin will help you plan the wedding of your dreams. Call 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. Book your getaway today, grandhotelcapemay.com.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Seoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. grandhotelcapemay.com.
Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne, God rest his soul. God rest his soul. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for streaming. Thank you for all of it. Appreciate it very, very much. By the way, just as a side note, my son and I, Patrick and I, do this during the summer. He has his various camps that he does, his sport camps, and I picked him up today, and we go to lunch, and we try wings. We go on a wing tour. But today we decided to try Raising Cane's because we've never been there before. It's really good. I know several of you have recommended their chicken fingers, chicken tenders. Did you like it? It's good, right?
Oh, that's very good. That sauce is delicious.
Yeah, that sauce is legit.
The Texas toast, also very good.
Legit.
I like to make a homemade, not homemade, but chicken sandwich out of you. Get two pieces of the Texas toast, get the sauce, then you put the chicken tenders or chicken fingers on it. There you go.
Mmm, delicious.
Have you guys tried Dave's Hot Chicken yet?
Oh, yeah, I love Dave's Hot Chicken.
No, where's that?
Somewhere in South Jersey, I forget.
Dave's, exactly. I'll put that up. Maybe we'll try
that
tomorrow.
On the list. That might be the best of all, like the fast food style chicken establishments.
All right, maybe we'll try that tomorrow. We do our thing. It's our guys thing. It's our guys bonding. I took Claire to see Superman. We had a whole daddy daughter week together. And then I took Reagan. We had a daddy daughter date. You know, what we did. We made tie dye T-shirts. It looked like Breaking Bad. Our kitchen looked like Breaking Bad when it was over. And then I took her out to lunch. And then I came home and I thought I was going to beat Bridget home and I was going to clean up and I didn't. And she walked in and she said, "It looks like a bomb went off here and this is a meth lab." And I said, "I know, I'm sorry, but we didn't." Because Reagan's a slob and I'm a slob. And of course, I'm, you know, a lot older than her. She's 5 and she has a good excuse, but I don't. But, you know, there was paint everywhere and T-shirts everywhere and paint, more paint. And then we just left because she was hungry and I was hungry. And we went and had lunch and came back. And Bridget was like, "Oh, my God." So I walk into my wife is hanging up tie-dye T-shirts around our kitchen light to let them dry. And there's just paint dripping from the tie-dye T-shirts all over. And I said to her, "Hey, not for nothing. At least I used the tablecloth." Just saying, I almost didn't use the tablecloth, but I did. So, all right. So maybe my bonding lunch tomorrow with Patrick will be Dave's Hot Chicken. All right.
It's in Cherry Hill, by the way.
There's one in Cherry Hill?
Yeah.
All right.
They have a, you should try this. Post it on social media. People will love it. There's a Reaper chicken finger.
A what?
A Reaper chicken finger.
Reaper? You have to sign,
Reaper. Reaper.
What is that? Reaper. What is Reaper?
Reaper. Like a the pepper.
Oh, you mean Reaper, like Grim Reaper.
Yeah. You have to sign a disclaimer in order to actually get the chicken finger.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's they mean business. I've never had it, obviously, because I'm a coward, but...
You are a coward. Yeah. You are, I mean, not even close to being a man. I'll definitely eat that tomorrow.
I would recommend actually not getting it, but I would be curious to see what the reaction would be.
You have to sign a disclaimer for real?
Yeah, yeah. They give you you have to sign like a contract. It's a Carolina Reaper chicken finger. I've seen people try to eat them online, and nobody ever gets through the entire thing. It's always like one bite, then like, oh man, this was a mistake. Then they guzzle a milkshake, and that's about the end of it.
Mm.
So it's not enjoyable, to be clear. It's pure torture from what I've seen.
I do like to torture myself.
to put it on a numerical scale, like your average hot pepper, like a habanero, something like that, that'd be about 100,000 to 350,000 on the Scoville heat scale. A Carolina Reaper is 1.4 to 2.2 million points on the Scoville heat scale.
Give me the crazy hot chick scale. Give me that. Like, if your average chicken wing is like a 4, is this like a 10 crazy boiling bunny on your stove, or is this even higher?
I'd say you're talking like average chicken wing, probably about like a solid 4, 3.5 maybe if they're not that great. But Carolina Reaper, you're talking like supermodel pushing 11 out of 10.
Okay.
The Sydney Sweeney of chicken fingers.
Like that crazy.
Yeah.
That level of bonkers. Oh, yeah.
I'll put it to you this way. I've been there once. I got the medium, and I thought even that had a decent amount of spice to it.
Because you're a wuss. What about this do you not understand?
Well, look, I'm not claiming to be anything other than a coward. I'm just throwing it out there. The medium was plenty heat for me.
Pepper's spicy to you, isn't it?
If Tulsi Gabbard is an 8, I would say she's an 8. What do you think?
That seems fair.
I mean, I obviously, on the spicy, she's not crazy though, so that brings the number down, I guess, if we're doing it from that scale. But we do have the audio finally, and I'm going to play this now.
Finally, I had it within 3 minutes. We just didn't have a chance to go to it.
Matt DeSantis was worried about burning himself by loading the clip, burning his fingers on the keyboard. So Tulsi responded to Barack Obama responding to Tulsi Gabbard, and Obama basically saying this is nonsense. Tulsi was on with Laura Trump, who is filling in for Will Cain today on Fox News, and this is what she said.
National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Director Gabbard, give me your response to what we heard from former President Obama there. He's saying that none of this makes any sense, that this is a distraction. What do you say to that?
It's the art of deflection coming from former President Obama, as well as his friends who are still in Congress today, and Senator Warner and Congressman Jim Himes, really all basically saying that exact same statement, which doesn't actually address the issue that was revealed in great detail in the over 100 documents that we released last week, in the documents that we will be releasing later this week, that point to the undeniable fact that you laid out in your introduction to this segment, is that the intelligence community had one assessment, that Russia did not have the intent or capability to try to impact the outcome of the U.S. election leading up to Election Day. The same assessment was made after Donald Trump was elected by the American people as president in 2016, defeating Hillary Clinton. And it wasn't until after that pulled president's daily brief document that you referenced that the Principals Committee was called in the National Security Council. And President Obama then directed Obama's ODNI, DNI James Clapper, to lead the effort to create this new intelligence community assessment that detailed not if, but how Moscow attempted to influence the outcome of the U.S. election. So this is the thing that I think people should pay attention to, is neither the message from President Obama's office, neither the statements coming from Democrats in Congress today and their friends in the propaganda media, none of them are addressing this fact that there was a shift, 180 degree shift, from the intelligence community's assessment leading up to the election to the one that President Obama directed be produced after Donald Trump won the election, that completely contradicted those assessments that had come previously. The second thing I want to address that's very important, Laura, is that you in the clip that you played, you saw John Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey stated with high confidence this January intelligence community assessment that they drafted at the direction of President Obama. The fact is that they used already discredited information like the Steele dossier. They knew it was discredited at that time, yet they used it as a source for this document that they claim to have high confidence in. They used intelligence that some of these intelligence community professionals rejected previously because of the lack of credibility and the lack of the ability to vet with any kind of confidence whether or not that information or intelligence was accurate and could be used for an assessment. There is a long laundry list of facts and intelligence reporting that directly contradict the statement coming from President Obama's office and those who are trying to deflect away from what actually happened, which was after Donald Trump was elected, led by President Obama, there was an effort to create a document that would serve as a foundation for what would be a years-long coup against President Trump, therefore trying to subvert the will of the American people who sent him to the White House in 2016.
It's amazing that you are now releasing all of this. And Tulsi, I have to tell you, for those of us who lived.
Now, look, in the 4 o'clock hour, we had two great legal minds on, Wilt Chamberlain and John Yoo. And, you know, Tulsi is not an attorney. So words like treason and words like coup, which are she's using them in political terms. And so am I, by the way. So am I. I mean, let's be very clear here. I'm not an attorney. I believe this is the spirit of treason. And I certainly believe that it was an attempted coup. Now, there's lots of different ways to commit a coup d'etat. I mean, obviously, we think of the kind of old school walking in, bunch of guns and, you know, taking over. But political coups happen every day in this country. Political coups happen literally at every level of political office every day. What a coup is not necessarily meaning where you go in there and you overthrow somebody, but a political coup is you weaken a politician, you weaken their ability to govern, you try to roadblock them in court. I mean, those are all various forms of coups, like a degree scale for a wing. There's different varying forms. You're never going to have a coup in the United States where armed agents of the government walk in and take out the sitting president. That's not going to happen in this country. It happens in other countries. So the way to achieve a political coup in the United States of America, given our structure of government, is the way these people did it, which is to try to undermine the president to a degree where he either A, loses his effectiveness, or B, is removed from office. That's a coup. That's a political coup d'etat, an attempted coup anyway. They were unsuccessful in removing him, but they were successful in many ways slowing down his ability to get the things done that he wanted to get done. So that they were successful in that aspect of it. Look, if I'm on city council, you know, and I'm able to find ways to weaken the mayor's power by doing a political coup against the mayor, the mayor may still be in office but may become completely powerless. I've succeeded. The textbook definition of walking in with guns and removing somebody violently and physically from office, like the way that, you know, they do in third world countries, is not how we do things in America. We do political coups. We take people out by those ways, those methods. And they were successful, let's not forget, in overthrowing the president and removing him via political coup with the Hunter Biden laptop, which I still maintain to this day, if the truth about that laptop had come out, I think we would have had a very different outcome in the election. That and if all the dead people didn't vote. But there's lots of ways to have coups. And treason, I say it's the spirit of treason, because while it may not rise to the actual definition in the United States Constitution, which was Professor John Yoo's point, it's still treasonous for our intelligence community to subvert the will of the people and undermine the president and try to take out the president either politically or to have the Congress try to forcibly remove him or politically remove him via an impeachment. I mean, if you impeach the president and remove him from office, it's a coup. It's a legal coup. It's a it's a it's a constitutional coup, but you're still overthrowing the president politically. I mean, that's why I don't want to get bogged down in the minutia of the terms. And some people are, and they're like, well, it's not officially a coup because technically, blah blah blah, blah. It's not officially treason. Blah, blah. What these people did is they tried to subvert the will of the people by using the power of the intelligence community, the power of law enforcement, to affect politics. We had a police state. We are still living in a police state because we have not yet held these people accountable. And I don't know how many of them are still there. It's like, I don't know how many viruses are left in the lab in Wuhan. I don't know. But I know what they did. And I know they spied on the president. And I know that they tried to take away my vote and your vote. And they tried to grind his presidency to a halt. And they hope that the Congress would remove him. These were the things these people tried to do. If that's not a coup, what is? If that's not an attempt at coup, if that's not the spirit of treason, of trying to convince the American people that the president is not duly elected, that he's a pawn of a hostile government, then what the hell is the spirit of treason? So you don't have to worry about getting bogged down in the legal definition of things. This was treasonous behavior. And it was an attempted coup against Donald Trump. Period. And this is not a courtroom, and politics is not a courtroom. And by the way, impeachment is not a court either. It is a political process. So if they were successful in removing Donald Trump from office, let's play this out. I mean, if these people had convinced enough Republicans that this guy was a Russian plant and he only got there because of Vladimir Putin, and if the Republicans had impeached him and removed him from office, that would have been a coup d'etat. Okay? I mean, that's it. You don't have to kill Kennedy on the grass. You know, you don't have to kill Kennedy to commit a coup. There are lots of different ways to take out a leader and affect political change. And if the voters do it, then it's not a coup. If the voters do it, but they were lied to by the people in power, then yeah, it's certainly the spirit of a coup. Like, if voters went to the polls believing that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation and we would have changed their vote accordingly, and it was the intelligence community doing it, then our government, then yes, those government officials facilitated in a coup d'etat. If political operatives do it, it's not. That's the difference. That's the difference. If a political operative runs a really good campaign and the incumbent loses, that's not a coup. That's a great campaign. You've done a great campaign. If the people working inside the government use their powers to weaken a public official, to weaken somebody or remove them from office by using their power in a way that is not okay and is not with the will of the voters, then yeah, that's a coup. Then that's exactly what you've done. You've done it within the confines of our constitutional republic and our constitution, but it's still a coup. No different than if Clapper and Comey and Brennan had walked in there with guns and said to the president, you know, you're out, we're in charge now. That can't happen in our government, in our system of government. But what they tried to do can, and almost did. It almost worked. So when the president says this, and this is cut number four, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Sinneminson and Woodbury. When the president says this, actually, we'll do this on the other side because I got to take a quick break. But if you're caller number 12 right now at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, you will win a pair of VIP tickets to see me and Gianno Caldwell, Politics and Pints, next Thursday, July 31st, for our Politics and Pints event. Caller number 12 right now, 855-839-1210. It's going to be a great night. I do not want you to miss it. Gianno is a great guy, a great friend, and we're going to have an incredible conversation at the Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College. So good luck to caller number 12 right now. On the other side, though, I'll play what the president said. And I want to keep going on this because I think Tulsi's spot on. And I want to tell you about my friend and my dentist, Dr. Mike Vanaria. You know, I've known him for years. He's my dentist. Mama Zioli first discovered him, and now my whole family goes to Dr. Mike. What sets him apart from other dentists? Well, for starters, when it comes to a complicated dental procedure, for over 10 years in a row, Dr. Mike has been recognized by his peers as a master of complex dentistry, complex, masterful dentistry. Other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike. Heck, Dr. Mike treats other doctors. He's that good. See, if you want a dentist who actually cares, it's going to be Dr. Mike Veneria. He's obsessed with care, not cost. He has an office in Sinaminson and one in Woodbury, both right over the bridge. Very easy to get to. Now, there are these chain dental offices out there. Don't go to them. You want to go to Dr. Mike. VeneriaDental.com. He gave my wife a beautiful smile upgrade last year. Her smile has never looked better. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.